Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schwereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Mark, how you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. We just heard from Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski, as a lot of teams are in their practice areas today, getting themselves ready for the new league year and getting everything underway. And one thing that Deshaun said was that his velocity was really good. He says OTAs are still, everything's up in the air. Doesn't even know if he's going to do much anything in the preseason games. That's not decided, but the velocity looks really good. How much time can he miss and you feel comfortable, or should Browns fans feel comfortable, Mark?
Well, I mean, you'd like to see, obviously you would like to see him actually participate and actually play in the preseason games. I mean, you'd love to see some of that go on. And, the last couple of years, obviously with the time that he was away from the game, have not been great injury-wise and just production-wise. So, there's any room for, especially at that position, not getting reps. And the great quarterbacks that I've ever been around and come practice time and everything else are absolute rep hogs. They want every single rep. I mean, Peyton Manning was classic. I mean, he was just known for basically taking every rep and never giving his backups any opportunity with the football, because he wanted to see them all. He wanted to see every potential look. And, I know that nobody plays in the preseason games anymore, but I would think that it would be imperative for him to actually get as many reps as possible in practice, and I think it would be imperative for him to play in the preseason as well.
And we were just talking, Jonathan and I, off the air, and I kind of had like a little bit of a hot take. I was like, I said to him, just after listening to this press conference, I know you haven't heard it, Stink, but I mean, there's a lot of questions about this shoulder. And I said, man, I think there's a good chance that Jameis Winston starts a bunch of games for the Browns this year. Is that a crazy take?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I mean, the shoulder is tricky, yeah. And I just, it's miserable, especially, one thing you have to understand, the shoulder capsule has very little room for swelling. Like, the knee has a lot more room. The other thing about the shoulder is when the shoulder's bothering you, sleeping becomes impossible. And while you're motoring around for the day, if anybody's ever had shoulder issues, they can confirm this. You're motoring around during the day, gravity takes its effect, and some of that effusion leaves that shoulder joint. But when you're laying down in bed, it just sits in there. There's nowhere for it to go, and it's miserable. So yeah, shoulders are tricky, and I just know how tough those things are to come back from. And having a son that was a thrower and having a torn labrum, and how difficult that was and how difficult it is on the rest of the body, because your body is just this unbelievable compensation machine. And so when you got one little thing tweaked, your whole kinetic chain gets out of whack, because your body will try to throw around that shoulder injury or throw around that pain or that swelling. And then your mechanics become all screwed up and everything else. And I don't know. I just always look at that as one of those tricky things. It's always like when a guy dislocates his shoulder and they pop it back in, they say, hey, we're just going to rehab it and put it in a harness. I'm always like, dude, if you want my opinion, go get it fixed, because that thing will pop out again and again and again until it's fixed. So, I don't know the extent or exactly what his shoulder injury is, but
the glenoid injury.
I'm just always very leery about that.
Yeah, so let me ask you, between Deshaun and then between Nick Chubb, Kevin Stefanski spoke today. He's like, I won't go past today with Chubb. When he's ready, he'll be ready. Our insider here at the station, our beat reporter, he thinks he might not make it onto the field until week six, week seven, week eight. It's a guess. He doesn't know, but that's a guess. And between Chubb and Watson, should we be alarmed at how many injury question marks we have? And the season hasn't even come close to starting yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chubb is one of those guys, too. That was a gruesome knee injury, obviously. The other thing that you usually get into off of ACL, even if a guy comes back quickly, is from a confidence standpoint, how much confidence do you have in that joint? How much confidence do you have in that knee? And then usually, you know, we always say anybody that's had it, it's not the first year back. It's the second year back where you start to feel better and start to feel like yourself. And one of the things I always tell people when it comes to rehab and injuries is to really mentally be able to jump over that hurdle is I always tell guys, you know, I had to reset my new 100% for myself. So, you know, it might be 80% of what it used to be, but that's my new 100%. And if you kind of wait around for that to feel like it used to, I mean, you're forever altered. You know, and doctors always come out and say, wow, real successful surgery. You know, it's almost like, hey, if he doesn't come back, it's his fault. He didn't rehab it right. And the bottom line is you're forever altered. It's never the same once you've had it done. And so the big mental hurdle for me was to say, hey, man, like I feel like garbage, but this is my new 100%. Mm. And I can still be pretty damn good. Even if it's 70% of what I used to be, I can still be really good. And so that was kind of the mental hurdle that I had that I constantly had to play that game with myself. And I don't know, man, that just feels like kind of the way you got to do it. Especially when you've had a severe injury like Nick Chubb's had.
All right. So are the Browns putting too much into the idea that Nick Chubb can still be a number one running back? Cause when he gets back, he's supposed to be the number one, but if that's 80% of what Nick Chubb has ever been or 75% or whatever that is, are you putting too much stock in what that is?
Yeah. Well, I think, especially coming back his first year, there's got to be a great rotation, and which is fine. You know, it's one of the reasons. Let's face it, it's one of the reasons you don't pay running backs anymore. It's one of the reasons nobody wants to pay the guys. I mean, that position is it's vicious. I picked up a fumble once early in my career, mm-hmm. and got the living piss knocked out of me by about four guys. And literally, I would have fumbled had it not been for one of the little DBs hitting me in the chest and pinning the ball to my stomach. Like I was laying on the bottom of a pile going, note to self, don't ever, ever do that again. That was stupid. And, like, I marvel at those guys, their ability to take the beating they take, to deliver the punishment that they take, you know, and to be able to show up every week. That is such a tough position. And so, yeah, I think there'll be more of a rotation. I mean, I don't think you would expect him in year one to be the bell cow that he's been over the course of the years, but it doesn't mean he can't be really productive and a great part of what they're doing.
Mark Swarth joining us here on 92.3 The Fan on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Denzel Ward also spoke to the media. He said last year left a bad taste in their mouth amongst the team, amongst everyone in the organization. Should the Browns feel like they have a bad taste in their mouth when outside looking in, they went through five different quarterbacks? Yeah, Joe Flacco helped save the season, but once Deshaun got injured, I didn't look at it like anything should have left a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was remarkable that they, you know, won 11 games and did what they did. And obviously you'd like to push forward in the playoffs and you know, have a better playoff appearance. But I thought what they did was absolutely phenomenal. So it always hurts to lose in the playoffs. I get that. But I think also you learn a lot about yourself as a football team. And to be able to win 11 games with, like you mentioned, I mean, three different starters, I guess five different guys played. That to me is remarkable. I mean, like, it's unheard of. Usually you lose your starting quarterback and look at the Jets. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're screwed. So I think it's kind of remarkable what they did. Obviously you want to be able to compete and do well in the playoffs, but you know, pulling Joe Flacco off the couch and getting to the playoffs, I think is a pretty, you know, a testament to your football team, to your coaching staff, to what you guys had to do, the way you have to alter a game plan, the way you have to alter in midseason what you really want to accomplish and kind of change maybe a strategy or two. I think that says a lot, again, about Stefanski, the coaching staff, the players that you have there. I think it's I think it's big time to get where they got.
Mark, today, Jerry Jeudy, arrives at camp and had this hoodie on with a bag of money and a bunch of hands trying to grab at the money. Uh-huh. It's like, what is he just? Is he just trying to troll everybody? Is he still trolling you? What's going on with this guy?
No, I mean, I think he's having fun with it. Good for him for having fun with it. Just produce. I don't have any issue with any of that. Yeah. Produce.
I'm with you.
And I'm like, hey, listen, man, I'm all about mixing it up. I mean, again, I kind of look at it like an extension, of the locker room. And I know it's a public forum, but like, don't, if you're going to come in and walk into my front door and start talking smack, I'm going to talk smack back to you. And so that's kind of how I always looked at it. But yeah, I mean, just back it up. Go out there, play great. Everybody will be excited. You go out there, play great. Everybody will be excited, and it's funny. You play poorly, and you set yourself up. So he put the target or bullseye on himself. Good for him. Now go out and prove it.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Berry can't be happy seeing that hoodie, though, right? Like, there's no way he's like, I invested in this guy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm sure they did their homework. And like I said a million times before, the kid is an unbelievable talent. He's an unbelievable talent. So now you just got to go out and produce. And by the way, I don't want to hear about all the different quarterbacks you played with. DJ Moore consistently puts up 1,200 yards, receiving and 8-9 touchdowns a year. And he's played with, he's played with Darnold and Baker and Mayfield and whoever else over the course of his years in Carolina. And then in Chicago as well this last year with Bajan or whatever that kid's name was, yeah. And when Fields was hurt. And so, listen, I don't need to hear about how you don't have a consistent quarterback. If you're a big-time receiver, you make, you bail out quarterbacks. So I don't need to hear about that. I don't want to, as my coach always used to tell me, don't tell me about the pain, show me the baby. I don't care.
Mark Schwereth joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. Let me ask you, the Browns came out, Warren Sharp actually came out with it, and he was ranking like the hardest schedules for the upcoming season. Browns have the third hardest schedule for this upcoming season. As a player, did you ever look at that type of stuff? I know we're way in the weeds now compared to when you played when it comes to all this stuff, but did you ever look at that and say, oh man, I got, here's a future Hall of Fame quarterback, here's a future Hall of Fame quarterback, here's a, you know what I mean? Like, did you guys ever look at that as a team, or is it the type of thing you just kind of dismiss and said, we play who we play?
I looked for the bye week. When do we get a week off? Normally I was scheduling, everybody else was scheduling a vacation. I was scheduling a surgery. And so I looked for that. And then I looked for individual matchups that were tough for me, regardless if the team was any good. So in my time in Denver, for instance, 6 years in Denver, the Chargers would always be somebody I would look at because they had a couple of D linemen that weren't the greatest of pass rushers, but they were an absolute nightmare to play against. John Perella was one of the few guys that I felt like I couldn't take him off the ball very well. And he was one of my toughest opponents. And I had so much respect for the way he played the game, but the Chargers, you knew you were going to beat him 24/7. I mean, the Chargers stunk, but their defense was awesome with him. And I knew Jamal Williams was tougher than me when he lined up against me as a rookie and he had no tape on his wrists, hands, or fingers. I was like, oh shoot, I'm in trouble. So they had him, obviously Junior Seau, Rodney Harrison. They were legit defensively. So I looked at two games, where do we have to play these guys at? And, at what point? And then kind of the bye week. And other than that, I don't really care about who plays quarterback on the other team or whatever. All the games are tough. Everybody has really good players. And I was fortunate to play on some really good teams that, from a schematic standpoint and a understanding standpoint and an intelligence standpoint, I always felt like we had an advantage that way.
Draft coming up. We know Caleb Williams is number one. Give me your other three quarterbacks and what ranking you have them.
I think Jaden Daniels will probably be the next guy. I really, it's funny because I, like I was up at CU kind of working with the Buffs the other day, and college football is just so different. Like it's so, the whole game is played out of four wides. You know what's interesting? In the NFL, you never get into four wides. Like, unless it's the last 2 minutes of the game and you're scrambling because you're down eight, you know, you just don't get in that personnel grouping. That game is played all outside the numbers, you know, all outside the hashes. The NFL's all played inside the numbers, inside the hashes. It's a completely different game, and it's so rudimentary. So Jaden Daniels, I think, is really good. I like McCarthy because McCarthy actually operated in somewhat of a pro-style offense, and even though he didn't throw it a lot, I thought he played, you know, more of a personnel game where you're changing and shifting formations and you're calling out, you know, like those plays and you're reading out progressions. It wasn't just because they ran the ball. It wasn't all just on the edges of the football field. I thought he had some super tight window throws and some anticipatory throws. Like I like them. I like Bo Nix's game. Although I always worry about, you know, Pac-12 Oregon where, you know, every Saturday except one, you have more talent than the team you're playing against. That doesn't happen in the NFL. You don't just out talent teams. Mm-hmm. So Drake May is big and tall and athletic, but I thought he was woefully inaccurate underneath and intermediate balls. You know, and everybody always talks about, oh man, but the big throw and the big athletic play, like you're playing on the fringes. And everybody gets excited about that. I want to see a guy do the boring well. That's what wins in the NFL, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I had a conversation with Byron Leftwich when he was the offensive coordinator with Tampa and Tom Brady was playing. I said, what is it that sets him apart? And he said, if we're running some combination where it's like, for instance, flat curl, day one combination, and the flat is open for a five-yard gain, Tom Brady takes it 100 out of 100 times. He never pulls the ball and goes, well, what if I throw the curl? Mm-hmm. Nope, the first read is the flat. I'm going to throw it 100 out of 100 times, and I'm in second down and five. That's what wins. That's what wins in the NFL because if I can stay on schedule, I have a chance to keep my whole playbook open. You know what loses? Second and 10, third down and seven plus. That's losing football. And we get so enamored with a guy that can make the big play, but has no ability to kind of keep the chains moving. Like, I don't have time for that guy.
No question. Fantastic insight as always. And, of course, we're checking you out with the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Make sure you follow the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Before we get to your point on Jameis Winston, your take on Jameis Winston that I want to hear, it is funny in the press conference how he was like, oh, yeah, I got reached out to by a guy that plays for Boston. His name is Trevor something, as if he was like he couldn't remember the name of it. Like that, what a bad look for baseball that it. Trevor Story is legitimately, no, he's not as good as he was a couple years ago.
He's been an all-star for like a decade.
It's a really good baseball player. And Deshaun Watson, because the NFL is such a different world. The NFL is so far and above baseball that he could be like, oh yeah, some guy from the Red Sox. They tell me it's a baseball injury. Some guy from the Red Sox, Trevor Story.
All right, I was wrong. He was a two-time All-Star. Reached out to me. Two-time All-Star, but you know.
You said All-Star. You didn't say how
I
many
years.
I said
he's been an All-Star for like a decade.
No. I am playing it back in my head right now. I'm gonna do you a solid here, okay? If we were in court right now and we played back the whole everything, the transcript of it, it would say, you said he's an All-Star, and then you said he's been good for a decade.
Okay. I'll take it.
I think, come on. It's 3:30 on a Tuesday. You don't need to
beat
yourself up.
Two-time Silver Slugger Award winner.
Yeah, oh, good player. Really good baseball player. And that's what's funny to me, though, is a really good baseball player gets the name of a guy from the Red Sox. His name is Trevor It's such a bad look for baseball. Like, baseball can't buy one. Could you imagine? Like, think about it this way. Imagine Mike Trout at a press conference and being like, this guy, like, he's a quarterback for the Steelers. Russell. Oh, Wilson? He'd be like, what the hell's going on?
There's this guy plays in the NBA. His name's LeBron something.
I think tattoo of the chosen one on his back. I don't know what that's about. It seemed a little odd to me.
They call him the king or something?
Is he have two first names? Is that how that works? LeBron is James. LeBron James. Yeah, so it's a little bit different. All right, you had a Jameis Winston take.
No. I mean, it's not like a crazy hot take. I just think the more that we find out about this injury and how tough it is to come back from, it just makes sense that they went out and got Jameis Winston and gave him a nice sized backup quarterback deal. But also, it's an upgrade over Flacco, I think, especially if he has to play more games. And so I think it's a really good insurance policy for the Browns to have somebody like Jameis Winston on your roster as that insurance policy in case, God forbid, Deshaun can't play or is not ready for the opener or if he re-injures it.
Well, and you do believe that Jameis Winston will play some games this year.
That's not a hard bet to take.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, the Browns never have a quarterback that plays the whole season.
I know. I feel like an idiot. I remember the first year I was here, 2016. Remember that was RG3's year? And we did a station. They went around and they asked everyone at the station, how many games will RG3 play? And I remember being the only idiot that put 16 out there just because I was like, I don't know. I mean, I know he's made of glass, but let me go ahead and go out on a limb and say the starting quarterback will play all 16.
What did he play, 9?
No, he got injured in the first game.
He came back, though, right?
I don't remember him coming back. I'm sure he did. I don't remember it.
He was only here one year, wasn't he?
I've drank long away all of those. Just the one year. That was it. Yeah. And he got injured in the first game. I think it was the Eagles game, I think was the game. And what's funny is that normally you'd remember that moment with vivid detail, but the teams were so bad that you just kind of flush it all down. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, I guess it was what it was. But if Jameis has to play, I do agree with that concept. If Jameis has to play, let's say, more games than not, because Deshaun isn't 100% healthy, then yes, it was the right call. I've been maintaining it was the right call because I think that just from a pure locker room standpoint, I think Jameis will get along. I know because they're friends. We know that. So I think they get along better than Deshaun and Joe Flacco have. For some reason, the fan base wanted to make Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco like best buddies. They didn't really cross paths even. Deshaun wasn't around the Browns when Joe Flacco was playing for the Browns.
He did go to one game.
He went to the LA game.
Yeah.
And then he was on the sidelines for the playoff game in Houston.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't around each other. They weren't there day to day hanging out with each other. I'd much rather have a friend and someone in Jameis Winston than someone in Joe Flacco who is obviously going for my job at every turn.
Well,
that's not even the main part, by the way. The main part isn't even obviously going for the job. Jameis hasn't been quiet about the idea that he wants to be a starter as well. You're a backup quarterback because you want to be a starter. The main point, though, is that Jameis and Deshaun are buddies. They get along. I think that's important. I don't know. I like work better when I like the people I work with. It would encourage me to work a little bit longer if I like the people that I'm working with. Same thing with Deshaun there. Deshaun and Jameis get along. Maybe it means they hang out for a little bit longer, dissecting plays and figuring things out. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a very good thing. I liked what I heard from Deshaun today. I thought overall, again, I've always liked Deshaun at press conferences. I think he's really solid. I think he's very, very good in front of a mic. I think he's very good at telling us, in vague terms even, what we want to hear. Yeah, I mean, we had so many of these guys leave this press conference today, the media members, and they're like, I don't know where he's at. I have no idea where he's at. But we heard him for 20 minutes, and I'm like, all right, sounds pretty optimistic to me. 216-474 to below 92. I am curious, though, is he going to be that quarterback that Schlereth is talking about, that rep hog, the one that constantly is trying to go ahead and get as many reps as he can and do all this? Or will Stefanski have to put the brakes on him and say, hey, Jameis is the guy for today. You'll see it tomorrow. If that happens, I think Deshaun will take it in stride. It feels like Deshaun is looking for direction when it comes to that stuff. Like, as if he almost doesn't want to, wear all the decision-making on his shoulders. He's really put a lot of faith into not only the doctors he has around him, just by how he talks, you can tell that, but he's really put a lot of faith in a short amount of time in Kevin Stefanski and where the future of his career goes, to a point where it's kind of surprising for someone that makes $230 million and it's all guaranteed. In such a quarterback-driven league where you really can call the shots, he really seems like he puts a lot of faith and trust in Kevin Stefanski here, Dustin.
Yeah, I think that he does, and he should at this point, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm not against it. I think Stefanski's smart. I think Stefanski has the fun part about where the Browns are right now, and this works for the fan base the same way as well as the organization. We all do have the best interest of Deshaun in our hearts, because if Deshaun is great, everyone's lives are so much easier. I told you about that morning that he went down and was injured, and I was sitting there at like 9 in the morning or whatever. And I'm holding my daughter, and I'm like, oh, man, my life is going to suck. Like, people don't realize how much better our lives are when Deshaun Watson, if he gets this thing figured out, our lives are going to be so much better. Who doesn't want to talk about fun football games? Who doesn't want to talk about competitive football games? Talk about competing for the AFC. Talk about all these great things that come with Deshaun Watson being great. It's in everyone's best interest in the orbit of Deshaun Watson to have him be as best as he possibly can. So you're all working towards the same goal, which I think goes a long way, and the trust does come into play. Like here at this radio station, for instance, if I believe that our bosses, because we have like 75 bosses here, but if I believe our bosses will put my best interest above anything else and will care about my career more than anything else, I'm gonna go with them for as long as I possibly can. Like, you want people in your corner that are going to put your best interest above of even their own best interest at times, and I feel like Deshaun's got that here in Cleveland. That's a beautiful thing.
He certainly has the support. There's no doubt about that. The team supports him. The coaching staff, including Stefanski, I think he's going to put him in a good spot this year, hopefully. And the number one concern at this point is not his performance, because that was a concern prior to the injury. But now it's just coming back from the injury healthy, and then having a chance to become the player that the Browns think you can be.
Yeah, if we asked health or performance, which one worries you the most, I think a lot of fans would agree with you. Mm-hmm. It's about health, and that's what the big statement was today. I want you to hear this, because I don't look at the end of last season, I guess maybe the same way Denzel Ward does, but I don't hate that this is his mentality. Here we go.
Man, I think that was one of the main reasons why I'm back in this building right now. Definitely didn't like the taste in my mouth from that last game and the showing that we put out there on the field. So I think that's why a lot of guys are in here now, just ready to get back to work, ready to get back to it and work towards our goals that we got in making it to the playoffs and extending our season.
See, I don't know that last year should have necessarily left the worst taste in their mouth. Maybe it's different for the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball. And sometimes, I don't know, I mean, you play defense. Did you ever separate yourself from what you were doing versus what the offense was doing versus what it is as a team as a whole?
I'm trying to think. I don't know that I can recall.
Okay, because I'm looking at it as a team perspective. It wasn't many people as Kevin Stefanski was winning Coach of the Year, and it felt like the NFL honors were basically the Browns honors awards. It didn't feel like many people were calling that one a bad season, where you make it to the postseason, and yeah, it didn't go very well against Houston, but you had five different starting quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson had the injury, which just was what it was. But defensively, that conversation shifted in a big way. We went from talking about them as one of the best defenses since the 85 Bears, since the 2000 Ravens, all time. One of the best defenses all time. To then watching them struggle to close out the year. And then, I kept doing all these different hits on VSiN and Vegas, my friends in the desert, and they kept asking me the same stupid question over and over again.
And what was that?
Why are they so good at home but suck on the road? Why do they allow 10 points a game at home and 30 points a game on the road? I'm like, I don't have an answer for you. We've asked Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski says it's a small sample size and he's got nothing to tell you guys. I can't tell you why it's a 20-point difference. But I remember putting so much into that playoff game, and it was a road game, and it was a dome game, and we had all sorts of people telling me, well, they're on the road, they can't play that well. And C.J. Stroud, within the first 3 seconds of that game, it became pretty obvious that the Texans were going to be able to do whatever they want. And this defense is better than that, Dustin.
Yeah.
You have a superstar, in my opinion, at all three levels of the defense. Myles Garrett, J.O.K., Denzel Ward. You have superstars everywhere on this team. But you have them at each level of the defense that should be a good team to get the job done. There's a reason why we're talking about them, that defense, as one of the all-time greats. But they did. They vomited all over their shoes in the back half of the season. And I think this is Denzel Ward saying, we're recognizing that. I'm glad they didn't make any massive changes, but that's why we're all here and we're trying to get better for next year.
I like his attitude. I understand that was a nasty taste. It was just one game. Like, it doesn't mean that that's what our defense was or is going to be, but it was disappointing because they tore us up and they've got to improve from that game. Honestly, I wouldn't look at how they played in that game specifically and think that's who they are. Or that's who they're going to be. Think it was a rough day against, again, not taking anything away from Houston because they were fantastic and they're a very talented team, but it was a rough day at the office for the Browns defense.
No doubt. But how much does something like that matter? I mean, you're the athlete. Let's get in your head here, okay? Even though we are one of two scholarship athletes, both scholarship athletes in college are sitting right here talking to you guys here on 92.3 The Fan out of the host. That's neither here nor there, though. We don't need to relive that.
We use the term athlete loosely with you, though, right?
Scholarship athlete.
I understand, yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, we use it very loosely.
We were a bowler.
Yeah, we use it very loosely. Yeah.
I'm kidding, buddy.
That's okay. It's fine.
You don't even bowl anymore.
No, I don't.
I was trying to ask you during one of the breaks.
I saw the Cavender twins. They graduated from Miami, and they had maybe it had been an old photo, because I thought the one transferred. And on their sash, it said student athlete, and I'd never seen that before. And I was like, okay, that's a good way to put it.
What do you mean? They went to school and they played sports.
Yeah, wouldn't you look at the student athletes a little bit like, don't you look at them as a little less than? If you go to a big school, don't you look at the student athletes as a little bit less than? Maybe it's just the big time schools. I mean, I would think the same thing would apply to Ohio State as well. But yeah, there are kids that get into Harvard as a hockey player that probably shouldn't have gotten into Harvard as a hockey player.
Maybe getting in is a little easier, but you still got to go to class.
Yeah, I know. No, I got that.
You still got to get
the acceptance rates. It's much easier if you're what'd you say you were? The seventh-rated defensive. And I think you're smart enough to get in Ohio State. I'm not saying that.
You were smart in high school, but
you were what, the seventh? What were you, seventh-rated defensive back in the entire country?
Something like that. I don't know. Top 10.
Were you 4-star, or does that make you 5-star?
I don't even know what they had back then. But
you were as high as stars will go. Your star was like when you're playing those Vice City games, and then you're running from the cops, and you got like all the stars lit up.
Stars.
That's what you were in high school. Okay, that was your rating.
Okay,
you were awesome. And I realistically, you could have gotten into Ohio State with like a 2.3 GPA in high school, probably.
Probably so.
Student athlete. Now, Lindenwood University, I could have gotten in no matter what happened.
I had a full ride to Notre Dame.
Did you really?
I did.
See, Notre Dame, very prestigious.
Yeah.
Very academically sound school. Ohio State is too, man. That ACT score to get in Ohio State is like a 30 right now.
It is really difficult to get in Ohio State right now.
It's gotten, they've raised the standards.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Denzel Ward, I believe, is raising the standards here too. But how much does that matter? How much does it matter when you have a bad taste in your mouth and you have this instance where, and I'm thinking about this with the Cavs too, by the way. This isn't just Browns exclusive. I'm thinking about with the Cavs, like how much can a bad taste last year from the Knicks series actually carry over into what the Cavs are trying to do? I feel like it's a great line in the offseason, but does it actually get you to work a little bit harder? Does it get you to focus in a little bit harder? We know athletes focus in when they have contracts coming. We know that. Want to talk about how much time Shane Bieber spent at Driveline this offseason when he thought he was either being traded or thought he was going to hit free agency? The man apparently lived there because in contract years, athletes try their very best because their bread is directly impacted by that. Well, can you be directly impacted by being embarrassed the way that the Browns defense was in that Houston game against C.J. Stroud? Can you be directly impacted by what happened with the Cavs last year against the Knicks? Is that something they can reach into and say, I'm going to work a little bit harder? Or should they already be at the max level and it is what it is?
I mean, I think it is what it is. It was last year. You can learn from the mistakes you made in that game and some of the busts that you had. And you got new players too. I mean, not everybody's back from that defense from a season ago. But yeah, there's definitely lessons to be had from a tough loss like that.
All right, 216-474-0092. On Twitter, there you can find me. I'm at Jay Pieto and at DustinFox37. We come on back. Let's get into those Cavs. We'll continue with your phone calls, everything else in between. I want to know if Donovan thinks he's a centerpiece to a team, though. I want to know, because we talk a lot about whether or not he's going to re-sign or not re-sign. I think part of this postseason that is hinging on whether or not Donovan re-signs is whether or not he actually thinks he's the Batman. Because there's an easy path for him to be a Robin on another team. There's an easy path for him to say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to go have actual postseason success. I can't carry a team. I got to find out what he thinks before we find out anything else with this Cavs team. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.